So it is April the 26th, 2015. This is kind of an important day for me because it was on April the 26th that I received my instruction from Yeshua. That was back in 1996. He woke me up. It was early in the morning on that day, probably 2 in the morning, which today is just bedtime for me, but back then it was nighttime, and he said, "I will now speak through you." Before that point, he had only spoken to me. I didn't really know what he meant. I was sleepy, pulled out of a dream state, and was delighted to see his face and feel his presence. And, you know, I don't think I would have cared what he said if he had said, "It's time to round up the chickens." I think it would have been bliss. Anything he said would have been wonderful. And I didn't really establish a lot of significance to that statement. But in the next couple of weeks, he returned again. As I was forming a newsletter for, a little backstory on this is I had an art gallery at that time. It was in downtown Fort Worth, and it was really a wonderfully large place, about 5,000 square feet, large enough to hold a whole congregation of people. And so we had monthly events. And we had all kinds of events, from musical concerts to, at times, even political rallies. And, of course, art events when I had something new. But we had a large congregation of people every time. However, we were in the process of selling the gallery, and I would only have 2 more months before we would be vacating the premises. And I was thinking about what to schedule for those last, for those last two events. And he shows up and he extends his hand and he says, "Well." And again, he says, "Well." And I looked at him and I said, "Oh, no, you don't. You don't mean that, do you?" And he said, "Well, why not give it a try? See how it feels for you." He has this most lovely way of being pushy without being pushy at all. He pushes us beyond our comfort zone, because only as we step beyond our comfort zone do we step into a higher and greater possibility. But then once he's pushed us beyond our comfort zone, he steps back and lets us have some free will about it. And I have noticed that to be consistently his way of leading us to discover more about ourselves. So that's what he did for me then, and I thought, well, okay, he's pushed me beyond my comfort zone so many times before. What's one more time? And it's always worked out in a wonderful way. So, okay. And besides, no one will come. I put in the newsletter that for the first time, I would be discussing the fact that I actually had conversations with Jesus, and I called him Jesus in those years. That I had conversations with Jesus, and I would like to open some of these conversations up to the world and present some of the things he had to say. Well, let me tell you, my friends, that 5,000 square foot building was filled from floor to rafter, wall to wall, to the extent we had to open windows and put speakers into the parking lot. Yes, people wanted to hear it, and they came. And so the second month was the same as the first. It only it continued. And it was during that time that the first recordings were made of conversations with Jesus. They were made on a little home recorder that wasn't all that good. So after I realized the demand for hearing this, we rented one of the major church facilities in Dallas that had a professional recording system, and we recorded Conversations with Jesus. That is the one available now. This preceded Love Without End, but it all began on April the 26th, 1996. So this is a very special anniversary for me, and I have a feeling that he will have a few things to say to you today. I know he's got a lot to say to those coming into the class later today, because I was so absorbed with his presence. I apologize that I was 2 or 3 minutes late onto this call. I was just listening, and writing down as I went. And way beyond and outside myself. I see there are two people on the call board, so I'm going to take the calls in order that they came in. Scott, you were first. So, hello, Scott.
Hello. Hey, regarding comfort zone stuff, I was reading in the Heart's Greater Vision, Chapter 8.
Uh-huh.
It mentions about mystical ecstasy has such an overwhelming impact on us.
Yes.
It seems so far removed from the ordinary world. And for a while, it was like that for me.
Mm-hmm.
So happy to get, a greater vista, but I can't quite match it up with the mundane world sometimes.
Oh, that's normal. That's expectable, Scott. Because we are at this point in time, we are in a biological body that thinks that is all there is to life. And when we present it with a greater expanse of what life can be, that biological body feels uncomfortable.
It also mentions anything that's true also has a lasting effect.
Yes,
and it
indeed.
It ensures us and propels us into growth. So it's about kind of integrating that and making oneself more useful to one's fellow man, but being able to draw from that.
That could be a life's work, Scott. It has been for many people.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
It seemed to help quite a bit.
Good.
Contextualized, because it was so far.
Well, yeah, now is to bring the two experiences together. And to make all of your experiences relevant to others you communicate to. Because you never know when someone else is going through the same thing, when someone else has had an expanded spiritual experience, and they'll want to hear what you experienced. And then they will be in the same dichotomy that you're in. But together, we help to build a bridge between heaven and earth. And I think that's one of our major purposes as human beings, is to build that bridge plank by plank.
And you used an illustration once of a tuning fork. We become, because of the blessing flows from on high, and in effect, we become like a tuning fork in our environment.
Mm-hmm.
And then people respond to that. And I'm getting really positive responses.
Oh, good. And of course you will. Well, the first thing is that you are the first fork of a let's say the tuning fork has two forks, and one is set off to vibrate at the frequency of the Holy Spirit or Christ, and you inside your being then resonate with that. And then your resonance sets off a further resonance with people in your environment. And so it goes. It's like lighting consecutive candles. Eventually, we'll have a great light in the world. And these are just metaphors or analogies, if you will, but they're based upon a reality that is a little bit too tangible to describe, intangible to describe without using a few metaphorical images. But it doesn't mean it's any less true, the fact that we do resort to metaphors of that sort. It is very true, and you will experience it if you just look for it. It's all around you. I'm going to take a call from Kathleen. Hi, Kathleen. You're on.
Well, hello. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Well, I am so happy to be part of this today. I actually am every Sunday, but I decided to jump in. The word transition is coming to my life right now. And I love your metaphor of the living waters that move and move us through these changes. And so I can foresee something happening in my work. You taught at a university, I teach at a college. And we have a new chancellor who's decided to restructure everything.
Oh dear.
Yes, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And it's like shaking up everything, and nobody knows what's going to happen, and they're all like scared chickens, and, you know, people are thinking, oh my gosh, where am I going to be, and where's this going to happen, and, you know, and I guess but to stay grounded in all of this is to be the silent witness, and not get knocked off my center by other people's fear. I guess that's
absolutely. And Kathleen, you really, really nailed it when you said to be a silent witness. As my husband and I have discussed many times, I don't think we'll ever have a perfect agreement on this, but we've come to some agreements. And they get a little bit better each time. I throw him outside his comfort zone, and he throws me outside my comfort zone. In that, we make discoveries. But one thing we agree on is that in this world as we live it, there's very little truth.
Yeah.
Truth, and he and I do agree on that, is it's what is. Truth is something that is not changed by what somebody believes or somebody perceives. Truth is something waiting to be discovered. It is what it is because it is. And I think we can all find that to be comforting. Now, when you are in a situation where lots of realities are changing,
yes,
and people become frightened, what you're looking at is situations where agreements are breaking down.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Okay. Now, there are lots of different, this is what my husband and I disagree about, but someday we'll agree to disagree. According to Yeshua, there are many levels of reality, from personal reality to those we agree with our friends and our professional cohorts, to then the more enduring realities, such as the orbital flow of planets around the sun.
Yeah.
And so we have different degrees of stability within reality.
Mm-hmm.
And as we notice realities changing, we become insecure about what our agreements are. Because reality, especially on these more transient levels of reality, are the product of agreement.
Mm-hmm.
We agree with our own experiences and say, oh yes, I'll have more of that, whether it's good or bad. We agree with others by contractual agreement as to what the terms of our employment are.
Right.
Okay, and that becomes a reality. So now, most of us really, really are immersed in our agreements, whatever they are, whether they're the more enduring agreements of the sun will rise tomorrow, or whether they're the transitory agreements of this is my job.
Mm-hmm.
But when you are a stable witness to a truth you hold in yourself, people will find security in you.
Yes.
And they will not find you to be a threatening person inside of all these changes of agreement.
That's true.
They will find you to be a stabilizing force, and you're not meddling in their issues. You're not trying to rearrange their vulnerability. You're allowing them to be vulnerable without exploiting it. You're just simply witness to the change.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I believe that this is what many of the prophets did in history, is they came to witness the changes and hold inside themselves the light of a truth.
There you go. You said it in a nutshell.
Okay. I know I've been there.
Yeah, I know you have. That's why.
I can't say that I always didn't get caught up in it, because it's hard not to get caught up when there's a lot of pushing and shoving going on. But at least know where to go to find your stability.
Yes.
And everybody, even though we're talking about universities, all of life is a big university. It's a big college. It's a big red schoolhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And inside that schoolhouse are people at many different learning levels, many different reality levels. And when something comes along in the world, whether it's an economic change or a political change or weather or some destructive event or some threatening event, we feel our agreements breaking down. And as our agreements break down, more realities break down. And we're all in a discomfort, not in a comfort zone, but a discomfort zone.
Yeah.
Now, the highlight of that is there's no place we can grow more than when we're uncomfortable.
That's right.
So take it for the growth it offers, and within that discomfort, look for any small piece of truth you can find, and just accept the fact that right now you may not get much agreement on what reality is, or what's happening, because people are too uncomfortable to form agreements. But you can find some little piece of truth. You may have to look within yourself to find that truth. You may find the truth in prayer to God. You may find a truth revealed from Christ or the Holy Spirit. Hold on to the truth you have. Whatever is true for you. You may find truth in the Bible. You may find truth that's been conveyed to you by other messengers of truth. Hold on to the truth. And don't worry about the agreements right now. Instead of feeling anxious about the agreements that are breaking down, try to grow through them. Try to learn through them. And you may find that on the other side of agreements breaking down, you will have new friends that you couldn't have had before.
Yes. That's very true.
And a lot of people ask me about Yeshua's mention of turning the other cheek and learning, loving your enemies. I think that teaching is best understood in the context of the day and times in which they lived. I don't think he was telling anyone to approve of the horrible destructive behavior the Romans had of killing the Jews.
Right. No.
No, he was not referring to approval. He did not say approve of the behavior of your enemies or encourage the destruction of your enemies. I think what he was really telling them is, my friends, we are living in changing times, when tomorrow your enemy may just become your friend.
Yes.
Be aware of that. These are changing, fertile times in which you may lose friends and gain new ones.
Ah. Okay, this is going to be very interesting.
Yes, be open to the idea that we are all children of God, and yes, some people misbehave more than others. Some people have really turned into their lives temporarily into destructive forces. It doesn't change the fact that they are all children of God.
Uh-huh.
Now, I was reading something in, I've forgotten whether it was 1st or 2nd Corinthians, but I was just reading it, and that's what really got me distracted before this call. It was where Paul was actually encouraging people to feed and nurture the worst among them even more than the best. And then he went on to say, we are all one body. We are all one life. Now, won't that whole be made better if we can take the worst among us and make the worst better? And I went, holy cow. That is exactly what Yeshua meant when he said, love your enemies. He was saying, you're all one anyway. Find a way to strengthen the weakest member in your crowd and make the whole body more fit. And by strengthening the weakest member in your crowd, you're actually making a new friend that you did not have before. I was watching a movie last night with my husband, and I remember a quote on it, and it probably comes from some philosopher or wise person, and I haven't had a chance to check it out, but I'll just pass on the quote because it was memorable to me. And what it was is the best place to store extra food is in the stomach of another person. Because if hard times come about, would you rather have rotten food on the shelf or would you rather have a friend? And that so perfectly relates to what is coming here in this discussion. And Kathleen, I just encourage you to think about all of these things, but not just you in that environment, but all of us in a changing world environment. We need to think about how we feed one another, how we care for one another, how we take our extra resources and turn them to food that others can use to then feed the many. And in this context, I want to thank so many of you who've given generously to Spiritus Church, because we take everything you give us and we turn it into the service of Christ. We turn it into feeding the many. And whether it's with inspirational messages such as these, the Blessings on Sunday, financing blessing seminars, which allow others to become trained in giving a blessing that then spreads out to the world, or whether we turn it into our healing ministry, which is worldwide. By feeding others, we are feeding our larger self. We are creating friends in strange places, places we don't even know exist right now, but we may encounter those new friends sometime in our future. And my friends, that's how we grow and we create a better world. And Desmond, I see you're on the line. We have precisely 2 minutes. Can you keep the 2 minutes? You're on.
You know, I think Africa's a beautiful place, and Desmond Tutu's from Cape Town.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's cool. I wanted to mention, when you're talking with Kathleen, how healing our hearts in turbulence, like with my brother and stuff, and just being able to have a blessing and forgiveness of understanding the greater picture that God sees, the higher more altitude we can see. Like if the day is really foggy, maybe our faith is limited. But if we come from the sun or something, we can see, we can have pretty deep vision and faith.
Yes, Jasmine, just remember, even on the cloudiest day, the sun is still shining. If we gain enough altitude through the love that we are, the love we give one another, and our love of God, we see the sun is still shining. And that's the key to having a happier life and a greater life. Also, as we forgive one another, we become rejoined to those we felt we were permanently separated from. Remember, it's only the events of life that cause us to ever feel separated from one another. We were created together in perfect unity. And it's only through the adventures of life that we went on different pathways, had different experiences, and came to different conclusions about life. And then sometimes those conclusions we drew about life make it very difficult for us to agree with our brothers, sisters, fellow man. Sometimes those disagreements can become very violent. And we put up our defenses, we pull away, and we can even move to the point of bitter hatred. But it's only through forgiveness that we can be elevated again to a higher level where we can see the unity. Now, that doesn't mean that it's always physically safe to go back into proximity of those who would kill us or take our life in other ways or take away our faith or our rights to live freely. It doesn't always mean that we should freely go back into the environment where people have proven their behavior is not to be trusted. But we can still love them through our prayers and by going to higher ground where the love of God and our unity through God can embrace all people in a greater, more peaceful, more harmonious future. And that brings us to the point of our blessing today. So we are now at the just a little past our 30-minute mark. And thank you so much, everyone who came online to participate, because, you see, your questions come about because Yeshua is already prepared for the answer. He and you already conspired on what the question should be. So next time others of you think in your heart, I think I've got this question. Come on board and let's participate. Now we need to get on with our blessing for today. And I'm sorry I can't take any further calls because we do need to get started. I would ask each one of you to be seated and in the privacy of your own heart, mind, and soul. Be quiet. Just allow your mind to go blank, your heart to begin to, well, light itself from the candle within, to feel the love that you are, to begin to feel the presence of Christ within you, and to approach the altar of this sacred spirit, ready to be in prayer in just a moment. Please have your feet on the floor or the ground, shoes and socks off, at least no rubber, artificial, man-made substance between you and the earth. We don't want to interfere with the energies of the earth that will be drawn up. In the blessing, we will be drawing the energies of heaven through your body into the earth and then back from the earth through your body and to heaven, back and forth many times to literally cleanse your body, heart, and soul from any toxic residue that may have come through disconnection, grief, loss, or illness. We will start with my invocation to Yeshua, and then we will progress to the blessing givers around the world joining me in conveying the energy of the Holy Spirit to join with Christ in your heart and to bring into your life more of the fullness and the grace of God, our Father, our Creator, our Sustainer. In unison with our lovely earth, from whom all of our nourishment comes. Yeshua, we thank you with simple gratitude that you are always with us, even when we do not see you, even when our skies are cloudy and our world is full of conflict and distress, even when we could not find a single soul with whom to agree. We can find in our heart the love that we are and simple truths that bring us into agreement with you, the sustainer of our greater reality and our truth in God. We ask that you release us from all of our separations, all of our inequities, all of our griefs and misbehaviors, that we may be in the simple truth of our being right now, being ready to receive the powerful blessing of the Holy Spirit, the love and the grace of our Creator. We thank you for being with us and making us ready to receive this wondrous gift. Amen. conveyance of the blessing is complete now. I want you to go and rest. Be quiet. Be silent. Lie down and don't think at all for at least 7 minutes. This is your assimilation time in which you receive and carry into all parts of your body, heart, soul, and being the blessings that have been given. Have a wonderful, blessed week, and I look forward to being with you again next Sunday. Bye-bye from me.